Okay, I guess that's my cue. Hi, I'm Mary Lou, compulsive overeater. Oh, it gives me such joy to be here because I'm seeing people I know from that I haven't seen in a long time. And but also I just thank you, Anne, for asking me to speak. I could not be abstinent today without all of you. I mean, I could not have stayed abstinent these last 38 years without you guys. I can't do this alone. I cannot do this program alone. I cannot get from breakfast to lunch alone. I can't. I'm a compulsive overeater. I could not stop when I wanted to stop. I made the vows, every Monday or, oh, heaven forbid, the day after that day yesterday, I was making a lot of vows. And today I was just thinking about it. Where was I going? I can't remember. I was walking into something and I thought, wow, I don't even have a stomach ache. I don't have anything. I have just my regular feeling of how I feel on any other day that I've been abstaining. And I don't have to be making any more promises or vows or pleas or whatever. So, okay, I came into the program in 1983. How can I put it? Yeah, I had tried different places. I think my compulsive overeating really took off. Well, I don't know, maybe when I was born. No, it took off like when I just remember as a kid, always being focused on food and always asking my mom, like, what's for lunch? When's lunch? What's for supper? When is supper? Can't we have this? Can't we have this? And then I'd go to like, as a kid, when my mother would take me places, what are they going to have? So that kind of thing. But when I got into high school, I think it was, I started having pocket money from babysitting or whatever. And that's when the binging really started because I could hide it. I could buy it. I could stash it away, and I could consume it all. And I had eating buddies from back in high school, and so that's what we would do after school. We'd go to whoever's house the parents weren't home, so it wasn't going to be my house because my mother was home. But I'd go to the others that the parents were working, and it was just binge till we went home for supper. I didn't know it was called binging. I thought it was called survival. I thought it was called survival. I had to have it. I had to have those days. I had to have that outlet. Food became just my answer to everything. Everything that I didn't even know what the problem was. I just knew at first I thought I just like to eat. I like food, this kind of thing. But it just progressively got worse. I've been reading the stories in the big book, Alcoholic Stories. And oh, I just want to welcome everyone that seems like there's some new people. And I just think, just it's a miracle you're in the room. It's a miracle you're here. And just don't leave. Don't leave. You're here now. Don't leave. Just keep coming back. That's what they told me when I, first got here too. Just keep coming back. You're not alone. And that's what I've done for the last, what, 41 years. It took me a couple of years to get abstinent. I fought it. I wanted it. I wanted what they had. I wanted what they told me that they told me in my first meeting, you never have to eat compulsively again. I wanted that, but I just still thought they were crazy. There's just no way. There's gonna be something that's gonna happen in my life, and I'm gonna want to eat. And the big one, as I always said, when my if my father ever dies, if my mother ever dies, well, I'm here to say they died, and I did not have to overeat. I did not have to compulsively overeat, and I got to abstain. So, but it was those kinds of things that I heard in the beginning. It scared me. It scared me because I thought they mean I can't eat some sort of food like the rest of my life, and they'd say no. You can eat it, but not today. And that's how I lived for the first few years. I'd say, yep, I can eat it, but not today. And the next day, when I would wake up and I hadn't eaten the night before, it was like somebody, I had won the lottery. And I thought, wow, it's possible. It's possible not to compulsively overeat. But I couldn't have done it by myself. and I needed to, like some days it would be like I was on, I used those tools like my life was, and my life wasn't at stake. My the something was on fire. I had to use those tools. Sometimes I'd be on the phone from the time I ate breakfast to the time it was time for lunch because I didn't know what to do with myself. Because I was just so used to even unconsciously just picking things up and putting them in my mouth, going to the cupboard, taking something out, eating it. Problem was, then I got the craving and I couldn't stop. And then I'd be so focused on it, I couldn't do anything else. So yeah, the first couple years were rough, but I kept coming back. I never stopped coming to the meetings. And I can't, like my first meeting, I heard, I knew I was in the right place. I just knew it. I just knew that you guys knew what I was talking about when I said, I just had to have the food. I felt like I was going to die if I couldn't get it. And like my mother, when I was young, she would say like, watch it or don't eat so much or something like that. But she didn't get it. And one time too, we were on a vacation, and this was before I came to the program, and all I could do was eat. And my mother said to me, I was with my mother and my siblings, and she said, "You are a compulsive eater." And I, oh my gosh, it hit me. Oh my gosh, that's what I am. Now, I don't think she knew it was, she knew the word. I mean, I don't think she knew about the program. She was just watching the way I ate, which was compulsively, obsessively crazy, and couldn't get enough of it. And I just turned around, walked out the door, and walked to the nearest bakery. That's what I did to show her that I'm not a compulsive eater. And I just had to get my fix. And sneaking it and hiding it and all those things. When I got here is where the first place I got hope. I wanted to believe what they said that I never had to compulsively overeat again. I wanted to believe that. And you know what? Just by just keep coming back, it's true. For today, just for today, I do not have to compulsively overeat. So it took me a couple of years, and then I'm January 1st, 1986 was my last binge. It was at an OA meeting of all places. Well, in those days, with the OA meeting, we had it in the church, and in the kitchen of the church, they always had the coffee pot going, and that was going to be for the break. People would have coffee, and everybody, and my job that week was to bring milk for the coffee. I guess, I don't know, at the time, people put milk in the coffee or whatever. So I went to the store to get the milk on the way to the meeting, and I got boxes and bags of my binge foods. And from the time that convenience store to the meeting, which was less than, oh, I want to say like 4 blocks, I shoved all that food in my mouth, all of it, shoved it all in my mouth, got to the parking lot, parked the car, went in, looked like, oh, hi, everybody, blah, blah. But before the break, I had to go in the kitchen and open up that quart of milk or whatever it was and drink the whole thing down just because I had to wash down all that stuff I had just ate. That was January 1st, 1986, my last binge. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This program has given me a life. I came in when I was 27. I'm 68 now. This is my life. I had a sponsor once. She told me, OA is not an extracurricular activity. It's a way of life. I didn't like that either. I was like, no, I just go to so many meetings a week, and then thank you very much, I have my own life. Well, my own life wouldn't be my own life if I was compulsively overeating. So, there was, I was just at a meeting on step four a little while today ago. And you know how they say, well, if you're new, you might not know it yet, but we have our literature, and you read it and you think, oh, I've read this chapter before. And then next time you read it, oh, I've read this before. I've read this before. And pretty soon you're saying, oh, I've read it 50 times. But you know what? Something new always shows up when you read it. And I've read step four a million times, and this line just hit me, between the eyes. It said, the faulty foundation of our life has to be torn away and built anew, or something like that. The faulty foundation of our life. And the faulty foundation of my life was that I couldn't survive if I couldn't eat when I needed to eat, because I have feelings, I have emotions that I do not know how to handle. To this day, I don't know how to handle, but I do know that I don't eat over them now. Have a friend in the program. I call her and I'll go on and on about, oh, the horrible thing that just happened. And she'll listen, and then she'll say, so what are you going to do? Eat over it? And then I stop and I say, no, I'm not going to eat over it. And what's eating going to do anyway? And it just brings it back into perspective that it's the end of the world today, but by tomorrow, I'm kind of going to remember what it was. But if I eat over it, I am going to remember. Because I'm going to have the guilt, shame, the remorse, the self-hatred, the hopelessness again, the despair that it's never going to work for me. My top weight was about 45 pounds heavier than I am now, but I've kept that off now for these 37 years, 38 years. I wasn't obese when I came. Well, 45 pounds is quite a bit of weight, as my sponsor points out. I want to think, no, it wasn't like 200 pounds or 100 pounds. But the thing of it is, I was always on the starvation diets before the program. So, I was binging and starving, binging and starving. So some people don't have that experience, and that's okay. Some people graze all day. Some people ate big meals, whatever, however our disease. I was a nighttime eater. I did a lot of binging at night. I ate kind of normally during the day, especially when I worked like in offices and stuff. If I had to eat with other people in the cafeteria, of course I always had the salad. Of course I always had the who knows what, tuna fish with mustard, or I don't know, all those things I ate, diet foods. And then at home, as soon as I walked in the door, I had my boxes and bags and cartons and containers and quarts and gallons and pints, and ate in closets, and ate, hiding, and ate in the car. And yeah, I am just, and I never want to forget that, though. I don't want to forget. I could go back there. I mean, this is not, it's a gift, to have this gift of abstinence. I know that it's God doing for me what I can't do for myself, but he gave me a way out. I feel like God gave me a way out. He gave me the meetings to come to, the people I can call, the telephone that I can, pick up and dial the number, the literature I can read, mostly, the plan of eating, that I can work out with my sponsor and have that plan of eating, and it's not a diet for me anymore. I mean, I was at home eating my own meal last night, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful to have this meal, because now when I go to, like family or whatever, I can hardly eat any of the things they have. So I don't even really get to enjoy the meal, because it's not stuff I enjoy anymore. Because you know what? It's what I'm trying to remember what that food did to me and does for me. If I pick it up because I think it looks good or sounds good or might taste good, and maybe it will taste good, but it's what it does to me. I'm an addict. I'm different when it comes to food. When it gets in my system, I want more and more and more. I don't say, get up with a stomach ache today. I continue binging today, tomorrow, the next day, every day. I mean, it didn't take a one day of the year that I was going to binge. Like, people look so forward to eating, the stuff on that day, and that's great. But I ate that kind of stuff every day. I'd go out and get the Costco. Well, I didn't belong to Costco. Thank God, thank God, thank God. If I belonged to Costco when I was in the food, oh my gosh. Anyway, but what I find here is the answer, the solution. The problem is, that faulty foundation of these beliefs that I wasn't good enough, that that I couldn't handle things. I just lived in fear all the time. Like, everything was I was afraid of, everything I was anxious about, everything. And I used food to, like, give me that I don't know, just to numb out, I could hide with my food and feel that comfort. I don't know. It gave me comfort in the beginning. It did. But when it boomeranged and became that thing that cut me to ribbons, like it says in Bill's story, then it turned on me, and now it's a nasty enemy that I can't get rid of. And I don't, if I pick up one thing today, it's just going to lead to everything else. So the steps are another, I'm just trying to speak to the newcomers. Just keep coming back. If you don't hear anything at this meeting, go to another meeting. Go to another meeting. Go to another meeting. Just keep trying the meetings. There's different, they're all different flavors. But listen, just to know that you can identify with the people in the room, and just know that you're not alone. We're not alone. And that's what I have to keep telling myself too. I'm not alone. Like I say, then getting a sponsor, very important, very important. And started to work the steps after I had was absent about, oh, four, six, 5 or 6 months. I had taken, done my first step just by showing up at the meetings and knowing that I had a problem and I couldn't help myself. So there's step one. I got an unmanageable life, and I am powerless over this stuff that's killing me, because I keep wanting more. I know it's not helping me, but I want more. And then I was raised in like a religious home, and went to religious school all my life. And so I had a God, but I didn't want God to interfere with my food. God wasn't giving me the comfort I wanted. God might have been some, well, maybe at one time, but things happened in my life young, and I think I probably unconsciously kind of just turned away from God and said, well, and I don't want you to interfere with my food. I want to eat. And they'd say, like, call before you eat. And I'd say, no, I don't want to do that, because you'll stop me from eating, But I'd call after crying. Oh, I hate myself. I did it again. I did it again. And then I learned to call before I'm going to eat. But anyway, the higher power I knew in step two, that I did believe, but I wanted this, a new higher power, a higher power that I heard talked about in the rooms, a loving higher power, someone that did care about me. So after about 5 or 5 months of finally being absent one day at a time, I took a calendar, and I started crossing off one day till I got like 21 days, because they said that's how long it took for sugar to get out of your system. And then I'd count another 21 days and so forth for like 4 or 5 months. And then my sponsor said, well, if you don't start writing your fourth step, you're going to go back to the food. I didn't know what she was talking about. I just heard you're going to go back to the food. And I thought, oh, dear God, no. Oh, dear God, no. This has been too hard and painful to get through this long. I cannot start over. And then I started writing my fourth step, and years I've done many four steps. And if you're new, not to be afraid of the steps. It's just, you have a, as long as we have a sponsor that's going to help us through them, and we're not alone doing them, then it's wonderful. And now I feel like, just today, what, 38 years later, I'm sitting in a meeting reading step four, thinking, oh, maybe this is what fourth step is about, So it's never ending of learning. We never graduate. Nobody knows more than anybody else about any of the steps. It's all like a personal growth thing, and you get it when you get it, but just don't leave the rooms. Because then you're never gonna get it. And it's you don't want to be alone out there anymore. You don't have to be alone out there anymore. We're here, and there's a way out. So I'm just so thankful Anne asked me to speak, because I just want to hear it too. I want to remember that I'm a bite away. And but with the help I get here, I don't have to pick that bite up today. And I'll just say one last thing. I got 14 seconds. I do have a weighed and measured food plan that really helps me stay grounded and free. I don't have to think about what I'm eating. And my scale went out last night, and I'm in a rental place with and it was, Thanksgiving, everything's closed, and I have plenty of batteries for the scale, but I couldn't get that little screw out of the back to get it. I was panicking. I was calling all these people, and so committing my meal and everything, and they said, yeah, okay, so we're going to do this just for tonight. And then one lady said, why don't you ask God, tell him you want the scale to work, ask him for help. And sure enough, I went over to the drawer and I found a nail file, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to weigh this meal, please help me get the screw out. Well, wouldn't you know, the screw came out with the nail file, and I got to have my weighed and measured food plan that keeps me very sane and peaceful. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me go over.